joins us every Tuesday. Griff, I know you probably won't get to see anything, but spring practice starts today.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to hearing what Kirby has to say today as much as anything. And, you know, Georgia's not going to determine their quarterback this spring, or, you know, maybe not even in fall drills. You know, that's something that kind of could leak into the season with, you know, three pretty capable guys there. And certainly Kirby doesn't want anybody to transfer. So it really doesn't behoove him to name a starter after spring drills and chase one of the guys away. I think Brock Vandegrift has already said he's going to graduate from Georgia after the fall semester. So he's graduating in 3 years, which is pretty impressive.
Wow.
And then we'll see how Carson Beck fares. So that's kind of probably the most notable competition. But there's other spots, you know, that Georgia needs to shore up. I mean, they lost a kicker. They lost an All-American safety. They lost a really versatile pass-receiving running back. I don't know if they've got anybody else that can catch the ball like Kenny McIntosh. And they lost a monstrous tight end that really created mismatches in Darnell Washington. They've got other tight ends. You know, but nobody that big and physical that, you know, could play like an offensive tackle. So there'll be some different dimensions and dynamics to this Georgia team.
Also, and Griff, not an original thought here, but Kirby Smart, all he's been involved in, days at Alabama, now at Georgia, and all the championships and the next seasons he's had to be part of, a rare three-peat opportunity, which – historically, Griff, is basically impossible. I guess Army did it a million years ago in the 40s. I think Minnesota did it. But it's basically not doable, but they're going to be picked to do it.
Yeah, I don't think it matters whether they're picked to do it or not. I would have thought last year's would be more unlikely when they lost, you know, a record 15 guys to the NFL draft. And
yeah.
You had all those first-round quarterbacks in the SEC. I mean, my goodness. I was among those that thought Alabama, you know, would reclaim the SEC. And, you know, Nick Saban really just didn't do a very good job last year in those two big games. So, unfortunately for Bama, you know, they got out-coached or out-schemed or whatever you want to say against Tennessee and LSU. I don't think you'd say those teams had more talent. So, I don't know how else we can say it than to say Saban got out-coached in those two games. But it cost his team a chance to go to the playoffs. So he'll have to try to bounce back with new coordinators and you know, all the, you know, the fanboys out there that are still saying he's the best coach, even though Kirby's won back-to-back titles. I don't know. I guess there's people out there that probably still think Seinfeld's the best show on TV too, but, I guess we'll wait and see. We'll see how Alabama bounces back. Brian Kelly, you know, did a great job at LSU. You know, to me, I thought, you know, really one of the better first-year coaching jobs I've ever seen. I didn't think he'd have that sort of immediate impact, you know, coming from Notre Dame. But I guess, you know, Brian Kelly showed you that if, you know, if you give him a chance with equal talent, you know, just how special he is. And we'll see what Brian Kelly and LSU do in the West. And I'm sure that, you know, Tennessee's going to try and show that, you know, they can win with Josh Heupel players. I mean, last year I think 17 or 18 of those starters were Jeremy Pruitt guys, including Hendon Hooker. So, you know, now we're going to see, you know, how Coach Heupel does with a lot of his own guys. It'll be year three for him. Everybody's familiar with the system. I thought he did an incredible job last year. I mean, geez, if they don't trip up against Clemson, they're in the college football playoff. Against South Carolina,
yeah,
they're in the college football playoff. And who knows what happens if they get in the college football playoff. I mean, I'm still trying to figure that South Carolina game out, Bill, But you know, it's going to be an interesting race in the East, and I guess it, you know, kind of starts today with spring football. At least starts today at Georgia's spring football. Some teams have already started.
Clay here in Nashville wants to know your thoughts on Will Muschamp's son, Witt, who's a quarterback at Baylor in Chattanooga, committing to Vanderbilt.
I mean, it's a great place to get an education for sure. I mean, good grief, they got a wonderful hospital there, and great academics, and you know, everybody likes to go to that city, and a lot of good restaurants and places to go downtown, Bill. So I'm excited for him. He's probably going to have a great academic collegiate experience at a, you know, one of the top academic institutions in the country. You know, and then on Saturdays, you know, they get to play football and you know, welcome a lot of fans from other schools to their stadium.
Griff is with us each and every Tuesday. Josh in Picktown, Ohio, asked Griff who he thinks goes first between Buckeye quarterback Stroud and Alabama quarterback Young?
Man, that's tough. That's tough, you know. I was so impressed with C.J. Stroud against Georgia. And all I could think is, why didn't he do that against Michigan? Why didn't he do that? But, boy, I guess because the game was indoors against Georgia, right? I mean, the Buckeyes are, pretty good into. You put them outside in the weather and the elements, and they have a tendency to melt a little bit. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Bryce Young. I think C.J. Stroud will play better with a dome team. That's going to be my theory. That's my theory. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah. And who played better, Bryce Young in the SEC championship game a year ago or C.J. Stroud here recently against Georgia?
You know, that's tough. It's really tough. I give Bryce the nod in the collegiate career over C.J. Because of the 13-play, 97-yard drive that I saw against Auburn, which is still one of the most incredible drives I've ever seen in the history of the Iron Bowl on the road after getting shut out for three. You know, to overcome that adversity, Bryce Young showed me that he could overcome adversity and put a team on his shoulders. And, C.J. didn't get it done against me. As much as I hate to say it because, I met the kid, and when you know his backstory, you can't help but root for him, but I mean, at the end of the day, he didn't get it done. I mean, and he chose to go pro. I mean, he left a legacy of losing to Michigan 2 years in a row. I mean, it's just the ugly facts. Nobody wants to say that out loud, but, he didn't get it done in the big games. They needed him to beat Michigan, and he didn't. He didn't get it done. Bryce Young, beat Auburn and beat Georgia in the SEC championship game. Didn't get to do it again, but – he also didn't have the kind of receivers that, C.J. Stroud had, if we're going to be honest about it. And he played in a tougher league. So all that doesn't mean squat when it comes to evaluating these guys as NFL quarterbacks. It's really hard because so much, just in the NFL, just like college football, has to do with your supporting cast, right? I mean, who you play with makes a difference. I mean, there's a reason why, Stetson Bennett's a fifth or a sixth round projected quarterback and Bryce Young's a first rounder. And you say, a lot of Georgia fans say, Stetson beat him. Stetson and 21 other guys, it makes a difference who you play with. And I don't know, a whole lot about Carolina other than I think they traded their best wide receiver away to get that first pick. I don't know if Bryce goes to Carolina, I don't know who he's going to throw to. That makes a difference who you're going to throw to. I know they got a pretty good defense, but who's he going to throw to? And I don't know where C.J. Stroud lands. I said this, Bill. I think Bryce Young's better than Dak Prescott. But Dak Prescott's job ain't open. So Bryce Young ain't walking into the Dallas Cowboys backfield and taking over a team like that. If he did, I think he'd win right away. I'd take him over Dak Prescott right now. But I don't think that job's open. So that's where it gets tough, is when these young quarterbacks, high drafted quarterbacks come in. I mean, think about Peyton Manning and how awful his first season was. As great as he is, so it's hard to evaluate now, and then it's going to be hard to evaluate after 1 year because circumstance has a ton to do with quarterback success.
Mike Griffith checks in with us every Tuesday. Griff, among the places you have lived to do your job would be the state of Alabama. At any point, did you ever hear, and they've had some good basketball teams, but did you ever hear somebody say these words, the basketball team is better than the football team?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think, Mark Gottfried did a pretty good job early on there.
He did, yes.
I'm trying to recall what happened in 97. Mike DuBose's first year was a pretty rough one. But this is tough. This is a tough one for Alabama fans. I know it is. Most of them are so loyal and supportive. But what's happened off the court and the dynamics that surround basketball, there's some Alabama fans probably, and I don't want to speak for all of them because there's a lot of them that are enjoying Nate Oates and the ride, but there's some of them that don't think the juice is worth the squeeze. If you got to win with this sort of attention around the program, they probably just assume, maybe not win if you're going to have this sort of negative attention. Alabama's, and Auburn – You know, in that state, those programs mean so much more than just athletics. They are a social phenomenon. There are no pro teams there, and I'm not talking about any soccer or semi-pro hockey or semi-pro. I'm talking like it's Alabama and it's Auburn, and those schools represent so much more, and make the fans so proud of them in so many ways. There's just a different dynamic. You know, at Georgia, for example, you know, it's more stratified in the sense that you've got all the Atlanta professional sports teams, and you know, Georgia fans are in, but they don't know what all in looks like till they've been to Alabama. You know, I think I told you that story about the Georgia boosters that took the flight to the basketball game and got a tour of Bryant-Denny Stadium, and their jaws hit the ground. They couldn't believe how incredible Bryant-Denny Stadium was, and the attention to detail, and the, you know, just the artistic, you know, skyboxes and the wood and mahogany, just. And the guys, gosh, Mike, he said, you know, you're always telling us, you know, Alabama's all in and how Georgia's got to get all in to catch up. You know, man, I saw what you were talking about. I said, yeah, it's different. It's different in Bama. There's a reason why, you know, it's different. And there's a reason why, you know, they win. And there's a reason why right now a lot of Bama fans are looking at Saban. And, you know, like I said, I mean, he's got knocked off his perch, Bill. You know, he's still the highest paid guy out there. He ain't the highest paid guy to be finishing second and third. Okay, I mean, part of the deal for Nick Saban to be the highest paid guy and wave his magic wand and get everything is he's got a responsibility to win. And these fans don't want to hear him crying and moaning about a schedule. Look, you're the highest paid coach in college football. You've got every resource you ever demanded, and it's your job to produce. Nobody wants excuses. Alabama fans don't make excuses. They get quiet, and then they get mad, and then they make changes. So stay tuned.
Best player in America is from right here, too, Brandon Miller.
Yeah, well, again, you know, I don't know all the details of that situation. I just know it's attracted a lot of national attention and not all good.
Mike Griffith with us, AJC's Dog Nation. And you know what I was thinking, and you and I have had this conversation, Georgia doesn't care about basketball, but Georgia could do exactly what Alabama's doing in basketball if they wanted to. They could be that good.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know that Mike White's Nate Oates. I don't know that. I mean, I think he's a pretty good coach, but right. I don't think he's proven to be an elite coach. I think Nate Oates is an elite coach. I'm not sure about his filter or ability to manage public situations, but when it comes to coaching basketball, the guy's pretty doggone good. You know, I'm almost as impressed with him as I am Bruce Pearl. Not yet, but almost. And we'll see what Mike does. Mike's a solid coach. He's been around the block. But I know what you're saying. You're saying if Georgia put the resources and paid the money to get the players like Alabama and the other schools, listen, it's all about you get what you pay for. Basketball more than any other sport, you get what you pay for, Bill. And, you know, right now Georgia's, you know, pooled their resources to, you know, go all in on football because that's what it takes, as I just said. I mean, if you're going to dethrone Nick Saban as they have, you know, by winning the last two national championships, being on the verge of a three-peat, as you pointed out, you got to go all in. I mean, Nick Saban plays for keeps, man. And so Georgia's put a lot of their resources, money into it. Now, other Georgia programs aren't as successful. I mean, you know, we don't need to sit here and talk about all the non-revenue sports, but Georgia's got to catch up a little bit. They got to catch up in some facilities. But, yeah, as far as men's basketball, I'll tell you, this gives you an idea where Georgia basketball's at, for better or worse. I did a poll last week, and Georgia just – now, mind you, Georgia just finished the season 16-16 on a six-game losing streak, okay? They haven't been in the postseason since 2017. This was year one of Mike White. 16-16 ended the year on a six-game losing streak. And I asked fans, did he exceed expectations? Did he meet expectations? Or did he fail to meet expectations? 85% of the people said he either met or exceeded expectations at 16-16 with a six-game losing streak to end the season. That tells you where Georgia basketball expectations are at.
Wow.
85%, Bill. We're happy with it. Yeah, he met him or exceeded him. Yep, that's what we expect. Only 15% said he failed to meet expectations. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm hiring a coach and he's the seventh highest paid coach in the league, I want him to finish at least seventh in the league. But I like Mike White. I guess we'll see what happens in year two.
Griff, we'll see you next week, bud. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Good stuff, as usual. Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. Yeah.